It's the 1st of November 2012, and my name's Ollie Taylor, and I'm here at Gloucestershire Archives with John Browning. And he worked at Fielding & Platt for a huge number of years, and he's come in today to talk to us about his experiences of working for the company over the years. So, John, could I just ask you to introduce yourself by giving us your name, when you were born, the years that you worked for Fielding & Platt, and the jobs that you did for Fielding, please?
My name is John Browning. I joined Fielding & Platt in 1943. I was born in 1927, 2nd of June, and I went to Fielding's in the August of 43. Started it in the heavy machine shop as a general dog's body. And then I went into the tool room for a few years. After that, into the inspection department, making gauges, and then into the fitting shop, where I worked on valves and pumps for several years. When I was out of my time, I was allocated outside work and travelled around different companies doing jobs on pumps and valves. After that, I joined the inspection department and again travelled doing press alignment and general inspection.
That's great, John. So you said that you started there in 1943. Was that as an apprentice that you started?
That's correct, yeah, five-year apprenticeship.
And how was it that you got the apprenticeship? Did you go straight from school or did you have to apply for that?
No, I went to Gloucester Technical College for a couple of years, and Fielding's gave out prizes for the top ones in their class of engineering. They gave prizes of £15, £10, and £5. And I was lucky enough to get a £15, which I bought my first motorcycle with, to go travel to work.
That's brilliant. So you do you remember your first day at the works at Fielding & Platt?
Yeah, it was quite an experience because there was quite a collection of old machines still there, and also modern ones which had been purchased at the beginning of the war, because they were carrying out production for hydraulic presses, making shells and armaments.
And that first day that you would have gone, would that have been when you would have had a sort of interview or meeting with the personnel manager, or would that have been actually the first day that you started work?
No, that was the first day that I started. I can't recall any meetings that day. I was just pushed into meeting a foreman and given a job to do. In those days, there wasn't any apprentice school. You were just moved around the company, picking up your experience as you went through.
So there was no apprentice school, but had the stuff that you'd done at Gloucester Tech, did that sort of prepare you for the type of work that you would have been doing when you got to Fielding's?
Yeah, that's correct. They had a machine shop, which was not at the technical college, but across the road in an allotment, I believe, and they had the machines in there where you could gain experience. Down to welding, brazing, turning, fitting, all the rest of it.
And so do you remember any of your teachers at Gloucester Tech and the things that they taught you at all?
No, I can't recall now. It's such a long time ago.
And did you go with any other lads from Gloucester Tech? Did other lads in your class start at the same time as you?
Yeah, there were three of us that got the prizes, and my cousin was one who was later killed on a motorbike, and another lad from Stonehouse. He had the £5 prize, but I think he left Fielding's quite early, so I can't recall what happened to him.
Do you remember their names at all, your cousin and this other lad?
Yeah, my cousin was Douglas Bullock. And the other lad was Desmond Jones from Stonehouse.
And so you met the foreman on your first day. Do you remember who that was?
I can't think now. No, it's gone.
But that would have been in the light machine shop, no, you said?
No, this was a heavy machine shop. Yeah, on an old shaper, I think it was to start with. And they also had a machine that wasn't actually in the machine shop, but it was near the canteen. And it had a sheet over it, and I was always enthralled as to what was underneath this sheet. And it was an old lathe for turning cylinders for the riveting machines. And, of course, they were on a curve because the riveting machine was hinged centrally and it had to swing up and down, and so the cylinder and the ram had to be curved to suit. And this machine was especially adapted for turning and boring the cylinder.
And why did it have that sheet over it then? Was it not used then at all?
It was only used occasionally, but I think they didn't want anybody to see how they'd rigged it to do this special turning on a curve.
So it's to keep it a secret.
Yeah.
So you started on this machine in the heavy machine shop. Can you just describe how that machine worked?
Well, it was a shaper, which was, I believe it was belt-driven. And it just machined flat plates or angled plates or anything with a shaping head that ran horizontally backwards and forwards, cutting the material.
And had you used a machine like that before? Or was this on a much bigger scale than the ones that you'd used at Gloucester Tech?
Yeah, it was quite a bit larger than the one I'd been used to, so it was quite an experience.
And was it noisy at all, that machine?
Well, the noise came from all the machines there, so you couldn't actually tell which machine was making the noise in those days.
And about the heavy machine shop generally, was that was a noisy place. What other sort of sights and smells and sounds can you remember of being in the heavy machine shop?
Well, the main smell was from the suds, which are used for the cooling system. Because after that, I moved onto a big lathe, which had two saddles and four cutting heads on it. And it was 40 foot long, this lathe, for doing large columns and other long items. And that was quite an experience as well, after a small tour room lathe.
So how long could it have taken to complete a job on that lathe?
Oh, it would have been several days, maybe a week or so. Yeah, so all according to how many threads had to be fitted, cut onto it, and all the rest of it.
And can you remember any particular jobs that you did on that lathe? What sort of things would you have been making on it?
Well, we were making columns for presses, large columns in various sorts and sizes. And screw cutting, obviously, on there, and fitting the nuts, column nuts to it as we went along. One of my jobs there was just sharpening the tools at the time.
And so you started straight away in the heavy machine shop, and you wouldn't have had any sort of instruction. It would have just been, you know, you'd get on that machine there and start your work. Is that how you got the jobs in the shop? Like, you were just told to do something by the foreman or the more senior people? Or did you have to get a job card and book the jobs and that sort of thing?
Well, initially, when I went there, obviously I wasn't put on a machine myself straight away. I was with an operator who'd been on there some considerable time. And all the work came through from the foreman with a drawing required to whatever the job was.
And you said that you'd seen this machine by the canteen. Did you have any breaks throughout the day when you were working there initially? Did you go to the canteen and stuff?
Oh, yes. Probably not just at break time, but at lunchtime you went to the canteen and you got your meals there. But other than that, you probably had a coffee or tea brought round, and that was it.
And what was the canteen like? What was that room like?
It was a large build, very large room. It was divided into, I think it was three. There was the managers in the one, directors in another, and the works in another one.
And I bet they all had a different feel, didn't they, to them, those different rooms. How was the room divided into these three sections?
Oh, it was properly partitioned off. And obviously there was waitresses for the senior staff and managers. And the rest of us just went up to the counter and helped ourselves to whatever we wanted, or asked what we wanted to take out, and it was given to you on a plate, and that was it. You took it to your table, and you got along with it.
So no airs and graces in the works canteen then. Do you remember what the food was like? Was it good?
It varied, but yes, some was all right. But of course, during the war time when I was there, it was a bit not all that elaborate.
And speaking of the war and being at Fieldings during the war, do you remember specific things that happened at Fieldings during the wartime that wouldn't have happened during the rest of the time that you were there? For example, air raids, rationing, that sort of thing?
No, nothing from air raids. We were given food parcels, or sent food parcels, from a firm in Australia called Gonningham's, which had some connection with Fieldings. And this went on for quite a little time after the war as well. But other than that, it was just a normal working day. And we weren't disrupted with any wartime activities at all.
And what would have been in these food parcels? Would it have been sort of canned food, that sort of thing?
Oh, yes, all canned food and or proper packed food. Which I suppose was lucky to get to us, having to come across all that distance. Yes.
So speaking of food in the canteen, how long would you have had for lunch then?
Oh, we had an hour. Yeah, that was the maximum. And it was 10-minute break in the morning, and I think it was 10 minutes in the afternoon.
And when would have been the end of your working day?
5 o'clock. Was the normal time, unless, of course, they were working overtime, which a lot did, obviously, during the war. But as apprentice, you didn't do any overtime until you'd finish your apprenticeship, unless it was something out of the ordinary.
And that would have been just Monday to Friday? You wouldn't have worked Saturdays then as well?
Sometimes, yeah, we were had to work on a Saturday. But most of the older people, obviously, were working, even Sundays. And a night shift as well, yeah.
As an apprentice, did you work on the night shift?
Not as apprentice, no. When I was out of my time, I was on the night shift, yeah.
And how was working the night shift different from the day shift? Was it different people you were working with, obviously?
Oh, yes. Some of them wanted permanent nights, so they worked every night, well, at least as many as they could. But there was also a lot of women working in the factory in those days in the light machine shop, probably a couple of hundred of them. And I can't recall whether they did any... they did overtime, but I can't remember whether they were... Oh, yes, I believe a few of them did work nights as well. But I didn't actually... only had a few weeks in the light machine shop. Otherwise... it was all heavy work.
And do you remember what these women would have been doing? I've never heard before that there were up to hundreds of women working in the light machine shop in the war. What would they have been doing?
Well, they were moved from different parts of the country to come and work on war work. They were mostly on small machines, capstan lathes or small... centre lathes. That was about it, I think. I can't remember any on milling machines. There may have been, but as I said, I didn't spend much time in the light machine shop.
And they would have actually been working those machines themselves, not just assisting a man who was working them?
No, they were actually working themselves. They had training, obviously, when they came there to start with, but they all worked under their own initiation and... they were turning out the work as wanted.
And how were they treated by the regular workforce? Were they well respected?
Oh yes, yeah, they were. And obviously there was a bit of fun there in during lunch times and all the rest of it. But on the whole, they were treated very well, actually.
Can you tell us about some of the bits of fun that you had during the lunch times with them and perhaps your other pals as well?
Oh, there was a bit of flirting going on and, yeah, a bit of tomfoolery, but nothing serious.
And I understand that there were a couple of ladies who worked the cranes in the heavy machine shop as well. Do you remember them at all?
Oh, yes, yeah, very well, yeah. They were older than the ones that worked on the machines, and the one drove a very heavy crane, and I can recall when they had to do health and safety training, and they had to put a harness on and lower themselves out of the crane. They didn't come down the normal way.
That's wonderful. I've never heard of the health and safety training before. So would that have been something that you would have done annually, or was it just a sort of one-off?
Oh, no, it was done on a regular basis. I can't remember how regular it was done, but the crane driver was just to get away and escape if something happened, fires or whatever. Then they came straight out of the cab of the crane and straight down to the floor. Otherwise, they had to move the crane along the rails and come down where the ladder was, but that could have taken quite a time.
That's fascinating that went on. Were there any other health and safety training or aspects of the job that you had to observe during that time?
I can't recall, because health and safety hadn't fully come in as it is today. It was just experience of getting out and doing the best you could if something did happen. There was fire drills and things like that, and you had fire points to go to if there was fire or something happened.
And where would those fire points have been then in the works?
Oh, they were near the main exits, usually. But there were some fire doors, especially in the offices that are above the ground floor level.
And what happened when you had a fire drill? You all had to leave by those exits and congregate at the fire points, is that right?
Correct, yeah, that's right. But I can't recall doing too many of those.
And would there have been certain people that were sort of on the... Was there a Fielding and Platt fire brigade, or were there fire marshals, that sort of thing?
Yeah, they had their own fire brigade, and they had their own pump as well. But I can't recall it being used except for practice work.
So there were no fires in your time at Fieldings, that's good to know. And what about other accidents and things like that? Do you remember there being accidents at all?
Oh, yes, various accidents happened. Yeah, I can recall when a chap on the marking out table was marking out a job, and something happened. He was having a fairly large job brought to the table, and it somehow slipped out of the sling, and it caught him on the shoulder and head, and laid him out. But he did recover from that. And another time, an electrician was in the crane working, and somebody hadn't switched the power off, and somebody went to operate the crane and caught him in a gear wheel, and he had his leg trapped in there. And he was eventually got down from there, and yes, he recovered from that.
So the sling would have been the crane sling on the first one?
That's correct, yeah.
And what happened when there would have been these accidents? Would there have been a first aid department at the works?
Oh, yes, there was first aiders, and there's also a nurse employed there. And obviously access to ambulances on a fairly quick basis.
And do you remember ever having to go to the first aid department yourself?
Oh, yes, occasionally went for odd cuts or something in the eye or whatever, and that was dealt with. I can't recall ever being sent to a hospital for any treatment.
And would it have been Nurse Edwards at that time?
That's correct, yes.
And what do you remember of her?
Not a lot, really, but I can recall her there, yeah.
And the first aid room itself, would it have, how what was the room like? What did it smell like? What did it look like?
Oh, it smelled like a hospital come ambulance place, obviously, and it was underneath the canteen, not far from the access to the canteen.
And would it have just been Nurse Edwards that ran it, or would there have been other nurses that would have been there?
No, she was the only nurse, but there was also first aiders around as well, the trained first aiders there.
So you were kept relatively safe in what was sometimes a dangerous job, yeah.